Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Porpoise Pod. Porpoise Pod. It's a podcast with a purpose.
All dolphins.
All the time.
Touchdown!
Now, here's your host,
Brendan Tobin
and Alejandro Solana.
Porpoise Pod back here with you. Another edition. Still riding high, I got to be honest with you. Really haven't come down off of it. Tobin here with you alongside my co-host, Alejandro Solana. How are you, man?
I mean, the news gets better every day. Tobin, Tua, AFC, Offensive Player of the Week.
As he should be. It should be a week where he gets to bask in it a little bit. I know that he probably won't because football doesn't let you enjoy anything. But I think as far as the fan base is concerned, this feels like just such a big-time matchup early on because you have a divisional rivalry, a historic rivalry that goes back ways away. But now you have a kind of bum Patriots AFC East, and this is kind of the fights over the tops. It feels right now.
I saw a Jets fan tweet out 2 decades of Brady, and then now we have this. And it's just the graphic of Tyreek, Diggs, Waddle.
It's tough.
Thank God we're not from New York, Tobin. I got to be honest. Thank God we're not from New York.
Yeah, although, listen, they got a crazy win this past weekend, too. Obviously, you know, we're focused on what's going on down here, but that was a pretty wild when you have the wildest game, you overlook the less wild but still wild endings. And the Jets and Joe Flacco coming back to win that game was pretty nutty. But even still, like, you know, it's Joe Flacco. Like, who cares?
Yeah, good luck. And Jacoby Brissett blowing that game. I mean, defense. I'll blame it on Jacoby.
Yeah, I feel bad for our guy Leroy Horde, who I do mornings with. He does call you out a lot. He is simply, by the way, he's getting a spite surgery today. So shout out to Leroy, speedy recovery. He's only coming into work tomorrow to show some kind of level of toughness over you. I don't quite get this. I told him he's more than okay to take a day off just so he feels a little bit better. But no, he just wants to make a point. I feel bad because now he's suffered. He's a former Brown. He does Brown's podcast up there, and now he has to suffer through 2 seasons of Jacoby Brissett. It's an awful existence.
Yeah, it really is. But I don't want to make this about my beef with Leroy. But first of all, I live rent free in his head because I don't ever take shots at Leroy on the air unless he provokes it. And second, Tobin, like, I didn't miss a day of work. I worked every day other than the day I had surgery. I was in surgery during the Hawk and Crowder show, so I couldn't have been on the show. And I did the show every single day from my house for 2 days. And then on Friday, I was back at work. I can't drive to work still. Like, I'm Ubering. I'm losing money daily going to work.
Really?
Literally. So
you can write that off, though. You can write that off.
I don't think I can. I don't think I can.
I love writing stuff off.
I mean, I'll try. I'll see how this works out. But
or at least Tobin, at least try and expense it.
Yeah, I'm gonna try. But Tobin, like, what am I supposed to do? Walk to work? Like, I don't understand where the hate. Leroy wants to take shots over my man bun. Fine, I get it. Like, but
it's a long time ago, the man bun era, though.
I haven't had it for 3 years. Like, I literally chopped it off in 2020. It's been 2.5 years. So I don't understand where these shots from your co-host are coming from. I really don't get it. Like, I'm working. I'm just working from home because I can't drive for 2 days. I've been at work every day since.
Why the ultimate decision to get rid of the man bun?
It kind of got annoying, honestly. Oh. Like, you got to pull the hair back. You got to gel it every morning. Mm. And then, you know, my hairline, as you can tell, kind of, you know, it kind of...
I understand. You didn't want an Evan Fournier situation.
I didn't want the Manu Ginobili earlier than when, you know, it's inevitable. I'm going to have the Ginobili because I'm already losing the stuff in the back. Like, it's coming, but I'm trying to prolong the situation. And the man bun daily, gelling, pulling that bad boy back every day was kind of accelerating the process. Also, man bun season was kind of a long time ago. Like, I jumped on the bandwagon a little late.
All right. So getting back to this. So we got the Bills this week. The last time since we recorded this episode and we were all high off of the win, the Bills played Monday Night Football. They were overwhelming against the Tennessee Titans, which, by the way, Titans, enjoy that Tannehill experience, dude. Welcome to it. This is exactly what it is.
So much fun. This whole week has been great because... Yes. Ryan Tannehill on Monday Night Football is getting rocked. He's throwing interceptions, and it sucks that, you know, we had to watch Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs do what they did, but it was still kind of fun because Tua named AFC Offensive Player of the Week, and those 7 years of Ryan Tannehill, I kind of saw them all within 30 minutes on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, like it's one of these things where, first of all, you never really root for anybody in the division, but I was okay with them winning because I think it just makes this week a lot juicier. Like, yeah, you're both off to 2-0 starts. And I think everybody looks at the Bills. Obviously, they're 5.5-point road favorites. So this is a game everybody thinks they should still win because they're the Super Bowl favorite. Everybody thinks that they are going to dominate and dice through this league. So I'm cool with it. If it means some Tannehill embarrassment on national television, just sign me up, dude. And I think they'll be hearing that because that Malik Willis, he was fun to watch in the preseason. So I think that they're going to be they'll start. It's about that time. I'm looking at it. It's about that time where you get sick of Tannehill. So enjoy it, Titans fans. This is what the existence was down here. At least yours will only be like 3 years. Down here it was seven.
7 years, and at least they got a playoff run out of it, right? Like, they've made the playoffs a couple times. They got to the AFC title game.
Yep.
Yeah. Like they kind of got the better Tannehill experience, and it'll be shorter lived than in Miami. But enjoy it. Enjoy it as you watch it all spiral out of control.
Does that loss or does that win by the Bills, does it make you nervous about this week? Like, what are your emotions going into this week? Because when you are, you know, 5.5-point underdogs at home, do you have a feeling of, all right, whatever happens, happens? Or, like, are you changing expectations because of how good last week felt and now you see a real opportunity here? Like, what's your mindset going into this one?
Yeah, so I might be pumping the brakes on the La Carreta celebration just a little bit after watching Josh Allen throw 4 touchdowns, Stephon Diggs. I mean, this Kader Kahou is going to have his hands full. I don't feel like the Dolphins can get blown out. And maybe I'll have to eat my words. But after watching what they did in that fourth quarter, I have this sense that the Dolphins can hang in a shootout. I'm not saying they can beat the Buffalo Bills in a shootout. I don't know. We'll find out. But do I think the Dolphins are going to get embarrassed Sunday? Man, I really don't. If you would have asked me that question maybe before the Ravens game, maybe at the halftime of the Ravens game, my answer would have been different. But if the Dolphins can even be, you know, have that semblance of go out there, connect on big plays, Tua's firing the way he did against Baltimore in the fourth quarter, I can't see a situation where they're getting blown out by Buffalo. Buffalo's the best team in the NFL. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to argue with that right now. It's either them or Kansas City. But I do feel, and maybe I'm letting my Dolphins fandom get in the way of me seeing this rationally, but I feel like most of us have this sense that we can hang with Buffalo. Can we beat them in a shootout, Tobin? I don't know. But we can hang with them, I think.
It's so strange, though, because, like, all right, we know that when it comes down to shootouts, yeah, those can be intimidating. But, like, they were just in the most dire situation. The Dolphins were able to put up a ton of points. Like, 6 touchdowns, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. This is a team in the Dolphins that can score quickly. Like, this is not a team that needs to dink and dunk and have methodical drives all over the place. So, in a lot of ways, that does, you know, boost my confidence in this team being able to hang with Buffalo, because they have looked overwhelming so far. Now, look, they got a great defense. Like you said, they're good all around. And I do think that with the Dolphins, like, the defense had key moments, but, you know, we saw the struggles that they had against Lamar Jackson. We saw these big chunk plays that they gave up. And I think a lot of people would look at this and say, okay, maybe Lamar Jackson's a little bit more dynamic of a runner than Josh Allen, but Josh Allen's still a good runner. People would probably say Josh Allen's a better thrower. And I think everybody would agree that Buffalo Bills have way better skill guys. And I think that almost, in a weird way, I have confidence in the Dolphins offense, because I think we have a guru coach in this team. I think that he's very smart. I think he knows how to get these guys the ball in space. Tua's obviously riding high in confidence a little bit. But it's almost, for me, I look at this defense, which I know Mike McDaniel said this is still the defense's team. Cool. But I almost worry about that side of it more than I do the offense, in a weird way.
Yeah, I mean, I know everybody's a little down on the defense, but I rewatched the Dolphins-Ravens games, like the compressed version on YouTube, and I wasn't as down on the defense as I was watching that than I was watching it in live action on Sunday. Because, I mean, you mentioned it, the Ravens got a bunch of big plays, right? The Lamar run, 75 yards, what did he throw, like a slant to, I forgot who it was, Duvernay Bateman, or whoever it was, right, Bateman, who took it all the way. And then if you think about it, right, like 35 points, giving that up to Baltimore, one of those was the Duvernay kickoff return to start the game, which, by the way, already puts your defense kind of in a bad spot, spotting the Ravens offense 7 points. Other than those big plays, and there was a couple other ones, the other touchdown pass that Lamar threw was like 30-something yards. The Dolphins defense kind of had a decent game, right? They made that pivotal fourth down stop goal line for the Ravens and kept the Dolphins in it early. And then in the fourth quarter and in the third quarter, every time the Dolphins needed a stop to keep themselves in the game, the Dolphins defense did it. So
Yeah, it's one of those things, other than the big plays. Yeah, when you evaluate, it's such a strange game to evaluate, because it's like literally every part of the team had a moment of the game where they could have lost the game for the team, but they all really had moments where they brought them back and won it for them too. So
right.
In a lot of ways, it was the most complete performance on both extremes, on both sides. And I think the question is, can you afford that against this team? You know, Baltimore is one thing, and I think Baltimore, everybody has Baltimore, everybody respects them. You're winning on the road. I think we're going to look back and say, man, that was a good win by the Miami Dolphins. I think Baltimore's going to end up being good. They're still getting healthier. They're still getting guys back. They're not, you know, they were missing pieces on defense. The question is, with this Buffalo team that has been your daddy and has owned you for the last 3 years, can you afford getting down big? And will they make those mistakes and leave those windows for you if they do get up 2 scores? I think that's what really kind of separates maybe a good team from what everybody deems to be an elite team.
Yeah. If you're going down, whatever it was, 28 points, 21 points to Buffalo, I can't see Miami doing what they did against Baltimore. You're right. But I give this defense way more credit than that. I really do. And again, maybe I'm being a homer. Maybe I'm letting my fandom, you know, kind of jog my rationale. But I really do feel like this defense is better than what we saw through stretches against Baltimore. And the reason why I believe it is because, Tobin, like, they've proved it to us. And by the way, it's a little different circumstance, right? Because Miami's going to be at home. You know this crowd. I expect a lot of Buffalo Bills fans, but Dolphins fans are going to show out, because this is Tobin, this is the biggest game in Dolphins history since when? Like their playoff game against Pittsburgh in 2016?
Probably, yeah. Like as far as just like a regular season matchup with all this hope, because the Dolphins, like, look, they haven't gotten off to good starts historically. Like it's taken a little bit. I mean, there's been some big time matchups against the Bills later in the season. There's been, you know, last year against Tennessee was obviously a huge game because you had playoffs on the line still. So there's been big time matchups, but I think that the difference with this is, This is an early statement game. You know, typically these have been where Dolphins have had to rally and they've missed the playoffs late, or there's been some bone crushing game that just rips your heart out and the season just is done. It's over. And you're going to look back on the rest of the year with regret. With this, everybody is crowning Buffalo already. And you're kind of saying, hey, I think people look at the Dolphins and say, hey, that team may be sneaky good. If you win this game, there aren't many of these in the NFL because there's so much parity. But if you win this game and you do stun the NFL world, now all of a sudden you've arrived and everybody's gonna be like, oh, well, we have to take this. Even at 3-0, you have to be like, oh, well, everybody's on notice right now with what this team can do, because we were already talking about that this was going to be a tough stretch. If you start off 3-0, on top of maybe you're going to have that quick turnaround with Cincy, but even forget about that. But if you start 3-0, and let's even say you start 3-1, you're going into like a much easier schedule than what everybody was when everybody was crafting what the season was going to look like. So I think that's what's interesting about this is, yeah, there's been big time matchups, but they're typically later on in the season. We kind of know maybe the Dolphins are a little bit limited. I don't know what the limit of this team is. I really, really don't. That's what I think is encouraging about it. We haven't seen a Dolphins team like this that is this dazzling, this exciting, and really what is the potential that is here?
Yeah, and we've never seen a Dolphins team who were down big and were able to do what they did. We talked about it after the game on Sunday, right? Like, they would just shoot themselves in the foot in that situation. Those were the Dolphins I grew up with. I've never experienced that. Somebody texted into QAM or 790 over the week on Monday, right? We're celebrating the big Dolphins win. And they said something that stuck with me, Tobin. That's what it felt like watching Marino every week, Solana. Yeah. Like they were, because I said it, I've never experienced that. Right? Really, I haven't. Like that could have been the most joyful moment I've ever had as a Dolphins fan, which is crazy. Week two, like it doesn't make any sense, but truthfully, that's what it felt like. And somebody texted in, that's what it felt like watching Marino every single week. And I'm like,
damn,
you know, like, I can't believe I missed out on that. But it felt almost like that era defining moment to me, right? Where we can look back on this and be like, that was the game where we knew something was different.
I think the thing that this team also has, though, that Marino didn't have, because people always want Marino to win the ring and it wasn't the complete team around him. But everybody knew Marino was great from the start. There wasn't really a question. Like, he fell in the draft and went later than people thought. But Marino arrived on the scene and was like, I'm here, mother bleepers. There were no questions. There's something about this team because of the quarterback and because of everybody's opinion on him that is like, you know how we like it down here. That we like being doubted. We like, you know, the country disrespecting Miami. Whether it be the Canes, whether it be the Heat, or whether it be the Dolphins and the Dolphins quarterback. So I think that there is an element of this, the us versus them in Miami, of everybody seems to like to take shots at Tua Tagovailoa, and he has a little bit of a double middle finger. And I think that Tyreek Hill has brought a lot of that swagger here too from Kansas City, because people are like, oh, you're going to regret leaving Kansas City. You're going to regret it. It's not going to be the same. So I think he's infused some of that as well. And I think that that is going to make this team even more beloved. Maybe not more beloved than Marino, but I think is going to have if this team is going to build a special place in Dolphins' heart because of everybody who is doubting them, doubting the quarterback, and really overlooking them.
And even Mike McDaniel plays into that as well, right? Like, how many people are successful in the NFL and have his background? Not many. Right. And you know, even people when he was hired made a big deal about the way he looks, the way he talks, his appearance, whatever. So, like, I think that also plays into it, where there were a lot of naysayers and there's always doubters or whatever, right? It's the biggest cliche in sports. Nobody thought we could do it. But I do think there's something interesting there with – the quarterback, the location of our team, because nobody thinks that there's real fans in South Florida, and our head coach as well, being a rookie head coach. I do think a lot of that plays into it as well. I'm with you. By the way, I had written this down from the Dolphins. Like they posted this in their game release.
Mm-hmm.
A Dolphins win Sunday. It'd be the first 3-0 start since 2018, and it'd be the 15th time in team history. It would make Mike McDaniel the second head coach in Dolphins history to win his first three games, joining Jimmy Johnson. Pretty good company. Mm-hmm. Miami's eighth consecutive win, it would be at Hard Rock Stadium, dating back to November 2021. That would be the team's longest winning streak at Hard Rock Stadium and the most consecutive home wins in a 10-game stretch since December of 17, 1984 to September 14, 1986.
Damn.
Pretty good company. And it would also, as we know, be Miami's first win against Buffalo since December 2nd, 2018.
Yeah, it's been too long. We'll take a quick break here on the Porpoise Pod. Swim on. Who was your favorite person that had to eat crow this week? Plus, Stephon Diggs. He's really respecting what he's seen from this Dolphins offense. More Porpoise Pod after this. Porpoise Pod swimming on here. Tobin and Solana getting ready, gearing up, as we say, for week three against the Buffalo Bills. Dolphins back on the practice field as they start to get ready. And listen, this Tua Tagovailoa, he's not soft like Tom Brady and needs Wednesdays off every week. You know, I don't know what to tell you. And did you hear, Solana, did you hear Stephon Diggs on the Rich Eisen show this week? He had some pretty glowing things to say about the Dolphins offense. He says it's explosive, that he loves watching and seeing what Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle were doing. So pretty high praise from the star receiver from the Buffalo Bills. You surprised that he's giving so much props to the Dolphins?
I am a little surprised, honestly, and also a little bummed about it. I like Stephon Diggs. Like, I think he's a cool dude, but I was kind of hoping this would turn into a real rivalry again, top two teams in the AFC East, and it would kind of be similar to what I missed out on in, like, the late 80s, early 90s, throughout the 90s, really, where these two teams couldn't stand each other. Like, they hated each other, and they were playing each other in the playoffs. There was, like, games late in the year where they'd be fighting for the division. Like, that's what I was kind of hoping this would turn into. I get athletes are different now. Athletes are cool with each other, and that's fine. Like, I'm not hating on that. I'm not turning into Chris Mad Dog Russo and saying, like, you can't like your opponent, but I was kind of hoping there'd be a little bit of bad blood between these two teams.
Yeah, same. I like the spark on things, and I like that I like when there's that bitterness. I think that certainly the fan bases hate each other enough that that's going to be existent, especially if there's any of those kooks who jump through tables that come down here. Which, by the way, is that allowed now? Because, you know, there was a giant car fire at the last tailgate. Like, if you're a person lighting a table on fire at Hard Rock this weekend, I got to feel like there's got to be ramifications for that.
Yeah. There's going to be so much extra security going around, making sure none of these Buffalo crazies are lighting cars on fire. Also, why does anybody want to get thrown through a table?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's just, you know, what losing four straight Super Bowls does to one person, and it just gets passed down from generation to generation. I don't get the whole thing with wanting to jump through a table. You know, Bills Mafia, everybody looks at them as like this great fan base. I look at a bunch of kooks. Quite frankly, you know, it's almost like a masochist, the person who like needs the pain for pleasure. I need the pain.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I think for me, it's strange behavior to see for sure. But don't bring that stuff down here to Miami. That's nonsense. I am surprised though they didn't go the Bill Belichick route of trying to come down here days early to adapt to the heat.
That Monday night turnaround to play Sunday, always a little tough.
Quick,
always a little tough, Tobin. Always a little tough, but hey, Bills Mafia, leave the Labatt Blues up in New York, all right, up in upstate New York. Come down to Miami and just settle down, all right, because you're in for an ass whooping, all right. Settle down. You drink too many Labatt Blues. You're throwing each other through furniture. Relax, all right. Throw a couple dogs and a couple burgers on the grill and get ready for your ass whooping.
Yeah, it's reckless behavior by everybody there. Unbelievable from everything there. So we'll continue to look forward to this game. But looking back a little bit more, Solana, on what was the excellence of this past week? You know, you and I, we were going to be on the lookout for if there was going to be any crow eating on Tua Tagovailoa this week or what the reaction was going to be. Has there been anything that stood out to you specifically from the reaction? Anybody that you want to call out that that is typically a hater that tried to weasel their way back in? Because Mike Gesicki said this week to the media on Monday, he says, look, we've all been seeing this with Tua. I'm sure a lot of people are going to try and get back on the bandwagon. He goes, I wouldn't let him back on the bandwagon. So have you seen any of that ratfinkery where people are trying to weasel their way back in?
Well, I did see Colin Cowherd doing the opposite, doubling down. What are we going to do with this Cowherd, Tobin? What are we going to do with this?
Well, the thing that annoyed me about Cowherd is like, what is your take here? Because he's like, well, we predicted that Tua was going to be better, but don't be fooled by it. I'm like, well, hold on. What's your opinion? Is he going to be better because of what he has around him? Or am I not to be fooled? Like, how can you predict both things? He's predicting both things. That's the thing that drives me nuts about it. It's not so much, okay, fine. All of a sudden you were in the Tua documentary and then you fraudulently jumped ship because you were worried about his hip injury. Okay, fine. Whatever. But like now he's in this place where it's like, well, you know, we told you Tua was going to be better, but I don't believe he's better, but he couldn't, but we told you. I'm like, wait, what? I don't understand where he's going with that. So that's a strange one.
He's also got, you know, more important issues to worry about with all the Trey Lance stuff being sent to his timeline, but whatever. I don't want to get into that. Yeah. I don't want to get into that. No, it's not even like one specific person. Did Sean Payton even say anything? Because I don't
think... No. He did. Sean Payton did a little bit of what Colin was doing because he was like crediting Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle as like the next Marx Brothers. But he did say I was wrong about Tua and I've been wrong about Tua, but then was mostly giving credit to the receivers and saying that he's doing what he has to do in the system. But he says, I've been hard on Tua. And he's proving me wrong. So Sean Payton definitely is, I think, another week away from completely backtracking. But he definitely left himself some wiggle room.
Yeah, I did see, I had written this down, Pete Prisco. He wrote, like, I may have been wrong about Tua Tagovailoa. He said, there are those who can't ever admit they're wrong, some of whom I work with here at CBS. I am not one of those who can't admit being wrong. So here it goes. I think I might have been wrong about Tua Tagovailoa. And then he does do the thing where he's like, one game won't change the narrative. But like he saw something there. Pete Prisco has been one of these guys who's just kind of like, yeah, Tua's another guy. He's not Herbert. Like he's been down on Tua for a long time. But it's not even just one guy, Tobin. It's kind of everybody. Where turn on SportsCenter last night and after Monday Night Football, they're doing a special on the Dolphins electrifying offense. Mm-hmm. And it's like everybody is kind of saw what happened there and started to realize like, oh yeah, there is something special going on in Miami.
Right.
And the conversation shifted from can Tua be the guy, which was every single day throughout training camp on SportsCenter, on ESPN, on all the shows on FS1 to now like, hey, look how awesome the Dolphins offense is.
Yeah, well, the thing with Tua that's fascinating about it is that the number one fear or the number one critique everybody had with getting Tyreek Hill is he can't get him the football. Well, this has proven to be wildly stupid. Over two games, we could tell he's very good at getting Tyreek Hill the football. I don't know if anybody's been to ESPN.com/stats lately. Tyreek Hill's number one in the league in receiving. So, and number three is Jalen Waddle. So, you know, I think those fears have been put to rest. To me, honestly, the thing that's been, I've said this, is like the number one thing that I worry about with Tua more than anything is honestly as a guy who's looked upon as a caretaker or a game manager is he can do some pretty reckless stuff sometimes and some head-scratching reckless stuff. That'll always worry me more than him with the arm or, you know, Tua not being able to comprehend, all that stuff. No, like he clearly tries to force the issue sometimes. For a guy who is known as conservative and checks down all the time, it's the disaster plays that you worry about more so than you know, the threading the needle. Because look, I think that accuracy is a blessing and a curse with him, in that he can put it, pinpoint where only Mike Gesicki can get it through three defenders. But if you're a little bit off, it could get it could be an easy pick six, or it could be an easy reception for the defense. So I think those are the things that really worry me, and that he has to get better at as this goes on. But I think that the lazy argument was this entire offseason, oh, well, he's not going to be – it's a waste to have Tyreek Hill. Like, you can't get him the football. And we saw it multiple times. He threw him 2 40-yard-plus bombs for touchdowns in an epic comeback. Maybe that was a stupid thing to think.
Yeah, what about he's only hitting open receivers? You saw that one, Tobin?
I mean, but he's not, though. Like, he's hitting open receivers. Those touchdowns that you saw, yeah, because Tyreek Hill's fast. Never. Guess what? Tyreek Hill's not getting less fast, so who cares?
He's gonna I don't understand that logic. Like, is he not supposed to hit the open receiver?
I don't know. Yeah, right? I guess he's... And then he had to come back for that one. That's another one that I love. It's like, well, Tyreek Hill to come. Yeah, Tyreek Hill's faster than the football. That's how fast he is. Like, it's, you know, maybe you guys would feel more confident having, you know, Josh Allen. I guarantee there will be times where Josh Allen would underthrow him as well, because you almost don't want to overthrow him, because then it's a waste. Like, he went down there and used all that amazing speed for nothing. So that stuff's all stupid, but Sean Payton definitely is the guy for me, where I was just like, all right, I see. All of a sudden, you went from Bridgewater's going to start to, oh, maybe I was wrong. Oh, you think, Sean? You think, do you?
That's a tough one to come back from after you throw 6 touchdowns literally 3 days later.
Yeah, it
is. That is a tough one to come back from. And by the way, you're totally right, Tobin. Anybody who's saying he's just hitting open receivers just didn't watch the game.
He is, I mean, like, if anything, I would say that's probably Tua's best skill, and it's also sometimes his diciest, is because he is so good at hitting those tight windows in contested places, and that he tries to do it all the time. And I think that is the times where, if, like, you don't have, like, epic velocity, that it could get, it could be, but he is, I mean, dude, we see that. How many times do you see Tua being able to just thread it through 3 people, and you're just like, damn, like, that was dicey, but, like, he is good at it. That's how he crafts success,
bro. And he did it on the Gesicki touchdown.
Yeah,
threw it perfectly to Gesicki, and the damn game winning touchdown, he threw it the only place where only Waddle could catch it.
Yeah,
the DB is in front of Waddle, pretty good coverage, right? But he has that chemistry with his receiver. He knows Waddle's tendencies. And Waddle went up, got the ball where only he could get the ball in that situation. You're just not watching the damn game. You're a clown. You're a clown if you're saying Tua's only hitting open receivers.
Sorry. Tyreek Hill's going to be open a lot, guys. He's faster than everybody. I don't just, you know, get used to that.
Good luck double-teaming Tyreek Hill. Keep double-teaming Tyreek Hill. Let Jalen Waddle eat.
All right, that's our Porpoise Pod for today. We'll be back later on in the week with more of a look ahead to the Dolphins and Bills. So, Solana, thanks for the fun. We'll do it again.